today. The Italian Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, she delivered a sharp rebuke to what she sees as the hypocrisy of the political left, particularly in how they portray conservative leaders versus their own historical figures. Now, speaking remotely at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Washington, D.C., she took aim at the double standards she believes are applied to leaders like herself, the U.S. President Donald Trump, and the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Meloni pointed out that when left-leaning figures like Bill Clinton and Tony Blair built a global liberal network in the 1990s, they were hailed as statesmen. Yet, she argued, when right-leaning leaders like Trump, Modi or herself speak up, they're quickly labeled as threats to democracy. She called this disparity a clear example of the left's inconsistent storytelling, suggesting it's a tactic that's losing its grip. Now, according to her, people are waking up to these distortions and refusing to be swayed by what she describes as leftist falsehoods. She also went further, celebrating the growing support for conservative leaders worldwide. Despite the criticism they face, Meloni said that citizens keep choosing them at the ballot box, a sign that the public isn't buying the narrative pushed by their detractors. Her comments framed Trump, Modi and herself as targets of an unfair smear campaign, while she positioned the left's own global alliances as having been unjustifiably glorified. Now, Meloni's words were a bold defense of what she sees as a rising global conservative movement, one that's shaking off the left's attempt to define it. She didn't really mince words, accusing her ideological opponents of reacting with what she says is hysteria to Trump's recent victory and the broader success of right-wing figures. It was a stinging critique, one that doubled down on her belief that the left's influence is slipping as people turn towards leaders who reflect their values. We'll try and assess what Meloni has said. In fact, I'm currently joined by... Let's, in fact, listen to what Meloni has said.
And that is why the left is nervous. And with Trump's victory, their irritation has turned into hysteria. Not only because conservatives are winning, but because conservatives are now collaborating globally. When Bill Clinton and Tony Blair created the global leftist liberal network in the 90s, they were called statesmen. Today, when Trump, Meloni, Milei, or maybe Modi talk, they are called a threat to democracy. This is the left's double standard. But we are used to it. And the good news is people no longer believe in their lies, despite all the mud they throw at us. Citizens keep voting for us.
$29 million goes to strengthen the political landscape and help them out so that they can vote for a radical left communist in Bangladesh. You had to see who they supported. $18 million for helping India with its elections. Why the hell? Why don't we just go to all paper ballots? Let them help us with their elections, right? Voter ID. Wouldn't that be nice? We're giving money to India for elections. They don't need money. They take advantage of us pretty good. One of the highest tariff nations in the world. We try and sell something, they have a 200% tariff, and then we're giving them a lot of money to help them with their election.
All right, we'll try and make sense of what Meloni has said. And I'm currently joined by Vivek Mishra. He's the Deputy Director, Strategic Studies Program, ORF. I also have Professor Andrew Latham, author and professor of political science at Macalester College in York University in USA. I also have Jonah Blank, a senior political scientist at RAND Corporation. He's a visiting research fellow, National University of Singapore. And I also have with me Anand Ahuja. He is an attorney at law, co-founder Indian Americans for Trump. Gentlemen, welcome to this discussion. Let me start by asking you, Vivek Mishra, On the double standards claim, Meloni, she highlighted a perceived disparity in how left-leaning leaders like Bill Clinton or Tony Blair, they were celebrated as statesmen, while conservative leaders like herself, Trump and Modi, they are branded as threats to democracy. I want to understand from you, how valid is this comparison historically?
Let me put that in the broader context of the age we are living in. I think we have entered the right age of the right, where you know the boat is going to shake and things are going to fall in their own places. I mean, if you go back to the frame of the 1970s, the Reagan moment, you had a huge sway of changes in the United States, and then conservatism itself had a had its moment. I think the circle has come. We have come a full circle in many ways, where you're seeing a global rise of conservatism, and I think to a large extent, Italy is, and that's why you see the importance of why Trump, the importance that Trump today accords to Italy in envisaging a route through the Middle East, which was earlier the I2U to extending it from the Piraeus port to extend it to Italy. I think there's been a sentimental political connect that way. But broadly speaking, we have a, as I said, we have entered a new phase where for a long time, this the condescension that we saw for the right, I think the left will have to understand that there has to be some space for the other political party, and that condescension has to go away. Because clearly, if you look at the United States right now, it's fractured 50-50, irrespective of what you believe in. It's one of the most sharply divided in terms of political choices at this moment as a country. Therefore, what you think of the other group may be right for you, but still stands right for the other half of the group. Maybe wrong for you, but still is right for the other half. Yeah. I think with that frame, let's take a step back and look at what the space or the gaining space that the right has made in this era. And it is only the beginning, because I see the rise of Trump and other leaders, including the in the global South. We've seen that there is a great gaining acceptance of this idea by the people of the country that they live in, and that reflects in the voting choices, and that reflects of the larger political sentiment.
All right, Professor Latham, I want to understand from you. When you see Tony Blair and the Iraq war at that point of time, when you see Barack Obama and the situation in Syria at his time, how do you see these comparisons when Melanie says that when you compare, because there have been instances in the past where left-leaning or conservative leaders, they were involved in situations like this. Nobody would talk about it, but now everyone wants to talk about it. Why do you think there is a situation like that? And do you find any sort of justification in what Melanie is saying here?
Yes, I do. I don't agree with her about a lot of things, but I think she was bang on, spot on about a few comments that she made. But again, if we were to back up a little bit and put her comments and that CPAC conference in perspective and the rise of Milei and Trump, et cetera, we have to recognize that this is the twilight of the post-Cold War liberal internationalist unipolar moment, which a lot of people in media and a lot of people in government grew up in and thought was just the natural state of affairs. And guess what? It's not. That era is coming to a close. The common sense of that era is becoming increasingly discredited. But there are many, many people around the globe, in media, in government, in everyday life, who are having a hard time coming to grips with that. They don't want to see the world that they loved and created slipping through their fingers and giving way to a very different world, one of, in geopolitical terms, multipolarity, but one at the moment characterized by a rightward drift amongst the people. The political leaders that Maloney referenced, including herself, are, in my view, not enemies of democracy. They are avatars. They are democracy crystallizing in this new world. And the legacy media in the United States, I think she used the word hysterical. It's a bit gendered, but I think applicable in this context.
Right. In fact, let me take that question to Jonah Blank. When you talk about the left's reaction to what Donald Trump has seen, Melanie described the left's response to Trump's recent victory as hysteria. Is it that? And, you know, Trump and Modi and Melanie, all of these people, they have been accused of using divisive tactics. Is there a line that we are treading here between statesmen or a global threat? Where do you draw that line, sir?
Well, in the United States, I would certainly draw the line at trying to dismantle the government of the United States and trying to unlawfully overthrow the government of the United States, both of which Trump has done and the first of which he is currently trying to do. This is not really a left-right issue. Let's remember, the political figure in the United States who is most closely aligned with former KGB official Vladimir Putin and who sacrificed U.S. interests for the Communist Party chairman of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, was Donald Trump. This is really not a left-right issue right now in the United States. Whatever it may be, it does not have anything to do with one party being left of center or communist or Antifa or the other noise words that are thrown at it.
Anand Ahuja, so, you know, talking about the global political trends, Melanie suggested that citizens worldwide, they are increasingly supporting the conservative leaders despite criticism from the left. Is Melanie's assertion of a rising global conservative movement correct? And is there a rise of a global conservative power?
So first of all, if we see the United States, in United States, history, history on part of left is not basically something new. Even in the first term of Donald Trump, if we recall that on January 21st, 2017, there were riots in Washington, D.C., and left was never prepared to accept Donald Trump as president in, even in his first term. Everybody knows that there were two impeachments of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump was basically not accepted as president of this country even in his first term. Meloni has made a statement now. I personally believe that
Mr. Ahuja, what has changed? What has changed in the last couple of years, according to you?
In United States, as Vivek mentioned, it's 50-50. Even in India also, if you see Modi's position, but the election he won in the last term as compared to this term, his position has gone down. So in United States also, as Vivek mentioned, and I agree with Vivek, that in United States, 50-50. If you see the House, it's Republicans, I think they have just a laser-thin majority in the House. And in Senate, it's 52-50, 48, basically majority. So it's not that landslide victory of conservative in the United States. But we know that in the last 4 years, how left desperately pumped money in United States elections, especially when it comes to the election of district attorneys, to make sure that this country goes far left. So that particular trend has been in this country, though internationally, if you see, now gradually there is a rise of conservatives. But if you ask me, it's something extraordinary. I don't agree with Meloni on that particular point.
We saw
Prime Minister's election in United Kingdom. So that election, conservatives lost badly. So now gradually that conservative movement is gaining some momentum all over the world. We should not get that much excited. We have to keep in mind that with the passage of time, voters, they get fed up from one particular party, and then it's a human nature. Change is a human nature. So I would not say that we conservatives should just get excited and go gaga gaga over it and start celebrating that conservative movement is now getting a lot of momentum all over the world.
Okay. All right. Vivek Mishra, you know, is this a cycle that we are seeing? And we have, you know, we have witnessed this cycle of change where a certain ideology has been in power for a long period of time, then overtaken by the other ideology. Is it really an anomaly that we are witnessing at this point of time? Or is it just the cycle that we have to see through?
Not at all. I think it's pretty much, you know, the nature of the cycle itself. If you look at, as I said, I was talking about the 1970s and the Reagan moment in the U.S., and if you come at the Trump moment, I think the curves of that really get acute, but I think you see that larger reflection of that change. And the reason I say that we are at the beginning of a cusp in the U.S. particularly is because of the things that are going to follow, which may not be pretty for a lot of people. But I think because the inherent understanding of Donald Trump is that there has been a liberal and sociopolitical decline of the United States as a society in their political and social choices, I think, therefore, the choices that come from this government are going to be very, very drastic in many ways. And there is a broader arc that connects this thinking with the rest of the world. Look at the Germany voted today. Look at the AfD's rise.
Yeah.
It may not go on to take the victory, but I think certainly it has done better than in the past. Look at the rise of Marine Le Pen in France, etc. I can give you there Bolsonaro, for instance. But coming back to your question, I think there's going to be a back and forth. There's going to be some countries where you see these changes go ahead, and other where it can again come back, like you saw in Brazil. Lula coming back after Jair Bolsonaro.
All right. Professor Latham, I want to understand from you. Melanie, she sees her leadership as part of a broader conservative wave shaking off the leftist dominance. Is it sustainable, if at all there is a momentum? Is it sustainable, according to you? Very quick word from you, sir.
Yes, very quickly. This is not cyclical. This is not the exhaustion of one party after 10 or 12 years in power. These are the tectonic plates shifting in a very profound way.
Yeah.
And as I said a little bit earlier, that unipolar moment when the liberal, democratic, progressive project was in the ascendancy and was considered to be common sense, that is, if not quite over, it's pretty close to being over. And just parenthetically, I would say with respect to the UK election, which in some people's minds stands out as an anomaly, that they drifted left versus everybody else in the world drifting right. It's simply not true. It's the first-past-the-post system that gave the Labour Party a huge majority. But in terms of popular vote and in terms of right now the way they are polling, this prime minister right now is getting the lowest polling numbers since the Brits started doing polling numbers. The rise of Nigel Farage, for example, suggests that Britain is not, it might be lagging, but it's not far behind this global trend. This is not people voting because they're tired of 10 years in Canada of Justin Trudeau being the prime minister. This is not that. This is a profound structural shift. I'm not saying it's good, but I'm a political scientist and I'm looking at this from a 30,000 foot perspective, and I know what I'm seeing. And
all
it's
right.
Not cyclical.
All right. Gentlemen, we're running short of time at the moment. Thank you very much for your views on this. What is the voter motivation? Melanie, framing the electoral success of all the right-wing leaders as evidence that people are rejecting leftist falsehoods in favor of values-aligned leadership. Is it correct? Is it not? We'll have to keep having this discussion to understand that and get that answer. Thank you very much for joining us and sharing your views on this. Meanwhile, amid Meloni's talks of the global rise of the right, another European country which may be making a rightward turn is Germany, with the latest polls indicating that the right-leaning CDU is in the lead with 30% support, followed by the far-right AfD at 20%. Meanwhile, the incumbent chancellor, Olaf Scholz's party, languishes in third place with 15%. Scholz, whose coalition fell apart over disagreements regarding debt rules, is battling a wave of anti-incumbency, especially due to Ukraine war's impact on the economy of Germany. Ballot counting will begin as soon as voting concludes, with official results expected overnight. Time for a very short break. More news and updates on this side.